The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Quickly, the devil delights in destroying and stealing, but our God delights in what? Restoring. Our God delights in restoring. Listen carefully to this. You don't access all-round restoration because you attend 12 days of empowerment. No. You only access all-round restoration because you do the instructions given in 12 days of empowerment. They are two different things. So every instruction, every word that comes forth from this altar, please be a doer and the testimony, and it will be evident in our lives. I said it will be evident in your life. This year, it will be evident. Do you know that restoration is not just whatever has been stolen from you? Papa highlighted a lot on restoration yesterday. I'm not going to go back to it. But restoration is also where you are supposed to be, and you are not there. Do you know that the Bible says that a man that is in honor and does not know? So you are supposed to be in a particular level and you are not there. You need restoration. And if your understanding is not opened, you can't know that you are not supposed to be here. May our understanding be enlightened tonight. I said, may our understanding be enlightened tonight. So I said, 12 days of empowerment, you don't access all-round restoration because you came here. You access all-round restoration because you do every instruction that is given from this altar. You all know that you don't become a medical doctor because you live in doctor's quarters. No. Or you were born by a doctor, automatically become a medical doctor. No, it's not hereditary. You become a medical doctor because you've gone through the training, you pass the exams, and then they now give you the name, the certificate, not just the name now, of Dr. So-and-so. Hallelujah. For everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, the Lord will give you grace to do the words that are coming out. The words I was telling Papa, I said the words that I've gotten in the last few days are so heavy that I feel like replaying them. Like they're too much in one. But God give us grace to do all. I said God will give us the grace to do all. And one of the major instructions to access restoration for a man's destiny is prayer. Somebody say prayer. Tonight is a night of prayer. It's prayer. Luke 18 verse 1. It says what? It says men always ought to pray and not to faint. The instruction is men always ought to pray. That scripture is, many of us just recite it. Men always ought to pray and not to faint. Some situations might make you want to faint, but you should still pray. Prayer, pray without season. Even in the face of situations that might make you faint, what should you do? Pray. That's the instruction. It's an instruction. Men always ought to pray and not to faint. That means you'll be faced with situations that might make you faint. But the needful, what you should do is that you should pray. Prayer is the spiritual control room of destiny. And you are the architect of your destiny. You are the architect. The person in the control room is the one that controls if the plane will land or not. Yes or no? The person in the control room is the one that controls. So if you are a praying person, then you are in control of what happens concerning your destiny. Life does not give you what you deserve. Life gives you what you demand. Life does not give you what you deserve. Life gives you what you demand. And you can only make demands on what? On the table of prayer. Prayer is on the altar of prayer. You can only make demands on the altar of prayer. So don't blame your parents. Don't blame your school. Or don't blame, you know, for whatever happens to you. Which school did David go to? Which school did, who were Esther's parents? And these were people that accessed all-round restoration via prayer. Somebody say praise the Lord. Tonight is a different teaching. I'll just pick three examples in the Bible of those who accessed all-round restoration via prayer. And Like I said, you need to be sensitive in the spirit tonight. We are going to be teaching in each of those examples lessons from their lives and how they accessed all-round restoration. We are going to be looking at them one after the other. Number one example is a man called David. 1 Samuel chapter 30. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 to 18. I'm not going to read all that. I'll just paraphrase. But you know, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag. And on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south. And Ziklag had smitten Ziklag, but burned it with fire. Let me just paraphrase what happened there because of my time tonight. The Philistines invaded Ziklag. And they did not only steal. You know, the enemy is wicked. They kidnapped their wives and their children, took all their properties, and burnt the entire place. They set it on fire. The enemy is a wicked, wicked, wicked enemy. But number one lesson that we can learn from that scripture, from that story, is never live your life unguarded. Never live your life unguarded. In the scripture that we just read, what happened? All the men left for war, and they left the women and the children. I want to believe that if David had strong men, that's not for tonight. If he had left few of his men down, they couldn't have, and they left for just 3 days. They did not leave for 1 week, not 2 months. The devil is waiting for your downfall. So don't give him a chance. Tell your neighbor, never live your life unguarded. And how do you guard your life? Be on the watchtower. Prayer is one way to guard yourself. Prayer is one way to guard yourself. Tell your neighbor, prayer is the key. Prayer is our watchtower. That's what the Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and I will stand upon my watch. Your watchtower is prayer. Don't live your life one day without praying. Because that one day that you say, I just came from vigil, the prayers were much. David and his men had been guarding the entire city. But in just 3 days, the enemy came and finished everything. May the enemy not finish us. Number two lesson we can learn from that is, David, if we read further, what happened to David? He was so devastated, himself and his men, they were crying like babies. They almost wanted to stone David because all they ever worked for had been taken away by the enemy. But something happened. Bible says, David strengthened himself in the Lord. In verse 8, quickly, he says, and when David strengthened himself in the Lord, what happened? David inquired as the Lord. That's number two lesson now. Pray, learn to pray, learn to engage in a prayer of inquiry. Learn to engage in prayer of inquiry. Prayer of inquiry is a different kind of prayer. I'm going to teach us tonight. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake? Prayer of inquiry is different. Do you know that when I'm praying for a child and I say, Father, give me a child, give me a child, give me a child, give me a child. That's not a prayer of inquiry. Prayer of inquiry is that, Lord, show me what to do that I might have my own children. There are two different things. You don't know what I'm trying to say. So some of you, maybe before tonight, you have been praying, yes, and you have not been restored. Learning from the account of David, how he accessed his restoration. He prayed a prayer of inquiry, asking God what to do. And when God shows you what to do, it helps you or it speeds up your restoration. Pray a prayer of inquiry. Whatever you are trusting in the Lord for, ensure that you take it to God. Show me what to do. Especially if you have been trusting God for something for a while and it hasn't yielded yet. So stop. It means that strategy is not working. Change it. Say, Lord, what would thou have me do? And when you ask God, wait on him for response. If you may say, how do I hear? Listen, there's no way you will talk to God that he won't respond. He will respond. Sometimes it's via the word. A lot of times it's via the word. His word is him. Whatever scripture you read at that time, it may just be the answer to what you will do. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Number three, lessons from the life of David. Take steps of faith after you have prayed. You know something that happened in the life of David? David prayed. And when he had inquired, the Lord told him. The Lord told him what to do. The Lord showed him what to do. He said, shall I go after them? Shall I do this? The Lord said, go ahead. Why not? That means if he had not prayed in prayer of inquiry, he wouldn't have gotten answer. And then afterwards that he got the answer, and he was going, you can imagine men that had been badly injured, their wife and their children, all they ever worked for in life had been taken away. The speed at which they would be running would be so mighty. They were running just focused to go and take delivery of what had been stolen from them. But in the course of where they were going, they saw somebody that needed help. Ordinarily, they shouldn't give him attention because this is like a distraction. This is not where we are going. Keep going. That tells us that take steps of faith. Don't let your challenge make you less of a Christian. It was in David's character that he was a what? Somebody that does help. He does good. So when he saw somebody on the way, he can't say, because I need to overtake, I need to run after what I need to take over, I should now let this be. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes some of us, we act like that. Because we are trusting God for marriage, we now say, somebody now looks at your face and say, what's the problem? Say, can't you see that I need that's not my own right now. What my major issue is not your own issue, because right now I need help. Can't you see me? What that person that you are talking to may be a clue to where you are going. And that was what happened in this line. While they attended to the person that needed help, he was a clue for their restoration. The help you do, because you are in challenge, you now stay away from church. You say, God self should understand that I have financial challenges. What happens to your leg? Can't you walk? You never can tell. In the course of your walking to church, there will be clues to your restoration. If David had not attended to that boy, they would be running. Oh, they had no clue where they were going to. But he gave them their restoration access speed because they attended. They took steps of faith. That you are going through a challenge. You have prayed a prayer of inquiry. God hasn't attended to you yet. It doesn't make you less of a Christian. Don't act in faith. You have prayed. Trust God and move on. Whatever you need to do, keep doing it. You are supposed to come to church. Keep coming. You should be doing. Keep doing it. He didn't make David less of a Christian. And in the course of doing what he was supposed to do, that was a lead to his restoration. So I've already gotten to the number four point. When you pray, number two is what? David inquired of the Lord. Number three, take steps of faith. Number four, when you pray, God turns the mistakes of your enemy into clues of your restoration. And I prophesy in the name of Jesus tonight that the evil done by the enemy in your life shall be your ladder of victory. Every evil done in any area concerning your life, God will give you clues and it will be your ladder to your victory. From today, God will open your eyes in the place of prayer and you will take possession of all that has been stolen concerning you in the name of Jesus. You may be here tonight and you are not seeing the result of what you have been working for. You have been working for ages and not seeing the result. Tonight, God will open your eyes. What is needed to access speed, the Lord will give to you in the name of Jesus. And then the last verse 18 of that scripture, David recovered all. That's the lesson. In the last verse 18, let's read verse 18. David recovered all. He didn't recover half, not small, not part. Whatever anyone may have lost, I decree in the name of Jesus, tonight you will recover all. I say tonight you will recover all in the name of Jesus. Number two example is the woman that was bowed low. In the book of Luke chapter 13, the woman that was bowed low. The book of Luke chapter 13 verse 10 to 13. There was a story, Luke chapter 13, verse 10. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, verse 11, and behold, there was a woman which had the spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together. She could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from that infirmity. Do you know a big lesson in that woman's scripture? Jesus went to the temple unannounced. That woman did not know Jesus would be coming that day. For 18 years, this woman had been bowed low. I can't imagine somebody that has been bowed low for 18 years. In fact, for 2 years, like she could in no wise, that's what the Bible says, lift up yourself. I want to assume she was walking to the church this way. Ushers will open the door. And then she will walk back. Every day. Every day. The key thing there is consistency is key to your restoration. Consistency is key to your restoration. If that woman came in the first 2 years of her life, I've prayed. What do you think she went to do in the synagogue? She went to pray over her health. I prayed and he did not answer. I will not come tomorrow. What if that tomorrow is when Jesus will come visiting? Consistency is key to your restoration. You have prayed before. Keep praying. Ask until your joy is full. That's what the Bible says. So keep praying. Don't let any challenge keep you away from the house of the Lord. And I pray somebody tonight that the Lord will attend to you in the name of Jesus. Everything that may be bowed low in your life, the Lord will straighten it. The Bible says in verse 13, says Jesus, can you take me to verse 13? She was made straight. Whatever situation has bowed you low, financial situation, health-wise, marital situation, whatever may be that problem that has bowed you low for several years, for several months, for several days, Jesus is here tonight and he will make you straight. I said, Jesus will make you straight. Jesus will make you straight. Jesus made her straight. And a challenge of 18 years became a testimony. Your issue becomes a testimony tonight. I said, your issue becomes a testimony. The third, number three person. But quickly before I move to that, you should know that there's no alternative to God. That woman has been going to church. She had been going. Many of us, when we try God today, we opt out tomorrow. I say, God, I have tried it before. It did not work. There's no alternative to God. What God cannot do, let it remain undone. There's no alternative to God. She did not veer in another place. She kept going. She kept going. So always tell yourself, whatever it is that has challenged God in your life, tonight, the Lord will disgrace that issue. The Lord will set that issue straight in your life. I'm talking to about 4-10 people tonight. Whatever issue, whatever condition that has made your heart so heavy, I decree in the name of Jesus, the Lord himself will set you straight. That issue, that emotional issue, that financial issue that has constantly brought you disgrace, constantly changed your name, the Lord will set you straight tonight. I'm talking to 5-10 people tonight, the Lord will set you straight. Financially, the Lord will set you straight. Maritally, the Lord will set you straight. Quickly, let's have our seat. Number three example of someone that accessed restoration via prayer is a man called Mordecai. In Esther chapter 2, verse 21. Esther chapter 2, verse 21. Mordecai was a man that I pray for speed tonight. We should go and read the book of Mordecai. The book of Esther. The story of Mordecai. It will ginger you not to play with your prayer life. In Esther chapter 2 verse 21. I want us to follow this story together. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigtan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wrought and sought to lay on the king Ahasuerus. And this thing was known to Mordecai. He told it unto Esther the queen. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. That means Esther gave credit to Mordecai gave it to the king in Mordecai. And when inquisition was made of this matter, they even made inquisition. It was found out, therefore, that they were both hanged on a tree. And it was written, that was all, in the book of the Chronicles before the king. The next chapter, that's chapter 3, it is assumed, you know, the way the Bible was written in those days, there was no demarcation of chapter. It was, so you can assume that it's continuous. So what happened after after Mordecai was certified by the queen that this man did save the king's life and the people involved were already put to death, what do you think was should be? They put his name in the king's book. And when, see the next chapter, and he said, after these things, you understand these things now? King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Haggagite, and advanced him. Monkey, they walk. Baboon, they chop. Somebody else walked. Another person took the glory. And you know this thing, if you read, you can read further down. This thing made Mordecai so angry. Very angry that Mordecai could not, he was not reverencing Haman. Whenever he sees Haman, he won't greet him. And people began to notice and say, what's wrong with Haman? Because somebody else walked. He took the glory. Lesson number one from this story of Mordecai. A closed mouth is a closed destiny. Don't keep quiet when you should pray. Mordecai did nothing other than to be angry physically. Physical anger is not what you need. You are angry, whatever, something that is taking your glory. You are the one walking, somebody else is taking your glory. There are some anger that I don't like you to display. Physical anger as a child of God is not what you need. Children of God, what you need is spiritual anger. Be angry with the devil. That is it. Somebody else, you know, and you know, one more thing, as I was reading this scripture, I was asking myself, I said, what is wrong with Mordecai? Some of us as believers, something happens to us, we will not, and it's a major thing. I saved the king's life. Yes, it's not, I didn't take the credit to myself, but it shouldn't be this fool that will take the reward. What did he do? That should be a spiritual anger. Something is not right in your house. Don't be angry physically. That is not where you should pour the anger. It's a spiritual, a closed mouth. Go up in the place of prayer. That's my lesson number one. A closed mouth is a closed destiny. Lesson two. Let your prayer altar burn daily, because the enemy you are contending with empowers themselves daily. Let your prayer altar burn daily, because the enemy you are contending with empowers themselves daily. In the book of Esther chapter 3 verse 7, we will see it there. Haman was a very fetish man. So just walking, being angry with him physically would not solve the problem. Look at, this is what Haman does. In the first month, that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Paul. Paul is more like, it's jazz. They cast Paul. And that is the lot before Haman. From day to day, from month to month, if unbelievers are empowering themselves day to day and month to month, we as Christians that serve a better God, that we are seated in heavenly places, let your prayer altar burn daily. Somebody say daily. Tell your neighbor daily. Daily. If your prayer altar burns daily, the enemy will not be able to ride you anyhow. Number three, lesson from the life of Mordecai. Spiritual slumber can be costly. Spiritual slumber can be costly. Quickly, Esther chapter 4 verse 1. I'm just trying to paraphrase that story. You know what happened after this whole thing? Mordecai did not just stop there. Haman did not stop there. When Haman got to know that Mordecai was angry. Yes, you saved the king's life, I took the glory. So is that why you're angry? Get me his name. I will not only finish you, I will finish your generation. That was the determination. You don't need to wait to get to that level before you start firing the enemy. Spiritual slumber is costly. That was what happened to Mordecai. If he had not been sleeping when the glory initially was taken, he would not have to wait So when the entire generation was sentenced to death, I don't know if somebody is angry with me in the spirit. You understand? Don't wait for the enemy. So let your spiritual slumber is what? Is costly. So let your prayer altar ever be burning. Spiritual slumber is costly. Number four, engage what? The tool of prayer and fasting for your restoration. Just like we are doing right now. Engage the tool of prayer and what? And fasting for your restoration. If you read further down, thank God for people like Esther that rose up in the spirit and was not happy. And she told Mordecai, look, this thing is not by joke. Let's gather people and let's pray. And that was what they did. And in Esther chapter 4 verse 7, the 17, Mordecai began to pray. Went into a fast as well. And the result of their prayer, let's fast forward to Esther chapter 6 verse 1, quickly. There was great restoration. That is to tell you that prayer, don't wait for the enemy to strike you twice before you what? Engage in the prayer of prayer, before you engage the tool of prayer and fasting. Esther chapter 6 verse 1, restoration began. On that night, the king could not sleep. Prayer had been rendered. On that night, the king could not sleep because he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. Quickly, next verse. And it was found that Mordecai had told Bigna and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay, verse 3, quickly. And the king said, what honor and dignity. At that point, the king's eyes were opened. The jars on him had already left. Brethren, spiritual slumber is costly. When he engaged in prayer and fasting, restoration began. Everyone sitting on your place of glory, tonight, the kings will lose their sleep on your behalf. Every one of your helper, anyone that should send you help, everyone that has been destined to help you and have been in some way held down by the captivity of the enemy, the Lord will make them lose their sleep tonight. I said the Lord will make them lose their sleep tonight in the name of Jesus. And the restoration was massive. Esther chapter 7 verse 9. Quickly, let's move to Esther 6 verse 7. Verse 7. Imagine the kind of restoration that was done. And Haman answered the king for the man whom the king delighted to honor. Verse 8. The next verse. Let the royal apparel be brought, which the king used to wear, from where to where. A man that sits at the gate. He was promoted to a man that what? Began to wear the king's apparel. Somebody is here, you might have been wearing a cloth of shame. There is somebody here, you might have been wearing whatever the enemy has been calling you. Whatever it is, from tonight, God is giving you a royal apparel. The Lord is changing your apparel. This word is for someone tonight and it's prophetic. The apparel of Mordecai was changed that night. I don't know what may have been called before. Mordecai was known to be at the gate before. But all of a sudden, when restoration came, what happened? His apparel changed. Somebody's apparel is changing. Somebody, you know why somebody, they say, that lady, who do you know? That she usually wears her blue color. Not because she doesn't, she wears blue because that is what she has. That's all in her wardrobe. But all of a sudden, she began to change color. Today she will wear blue. Tomorrow she will wear red. Next tomorrow she will wear indigo. Because a royal apparel has been brought to her. Somebody is here tonight. What people know you to have been before in 2022. God is giving you a royal apparel tonight. I don't know if you believe that word. But if you quickly read it. Apart from the new royal apparel. He said the king gave him horse. They gave him a horse that the king rides upon. Ha. Somebody is gaining speed. Horse signifies speed. Tonight, I decree, concerning somebody, this year is your year of speed. You will not only get what you have missed, but you will overtake. What you have missed may be two. God is giving you like double. Because ordinarily, before the thing was stolen from Mordecai, if the king were to reward him, he may not give him the horse that the king would ride. But because he had been stolen, they took away his glory. For your shame, God is giving you double. Hello, restoration is, if you take two from me, I'm not supposed to get two back. Restoration, for your shame, I'm giving you double. Whatever the enemy has deprived you of, this year, I speak to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, you are receiving double. Horse was given to him. The horse that the king rode on, signifying speed. Speed is on your legs from tonight. In the name of Jesus. And they wore him a royal crown. Somebody's story is changing. From tonight, when they see you, they will no longer say it is the same you, because you are wearing a royal crown. I decree that you are wearing a royal crown. That crown signifies that wherever he goes, doors has to open. He's not the same Mordecai that sits at the gates. He's now a royalty. Wherever you walk to, from tonight, doors will open for you. International doors are open for you. Brethren, jack up on your feet and we need to pray tonight.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. Appreciate you.